Hey, America.
Start rehearsing now.
Now, some more.
Ooh, yeah. S'mores.
And welcome back to 12 Points from America. This is our third show this week. Holy crap.
You again.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Samantha.
Trying to get Danny. Danny's been a bit busy, and he also hasn't seen as much of the rehearsal footage as we have. But that's all right. We are back for our third Rehearse Reacts show, as I've decided to call them just now. We got our first look at the Big Six this morning, this afternoon, whichever.
Whatever time zone you're in. Yeah.
And this might be the most impactful, like, Big Five plus host country on the whole since I've been following the contest. Like, there are some huge, huge things here.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, even since I've been following. Yeah. And we'll get to those in just a minute as well. Of course, you could follow us on Facebook and Twitter if you want to reach out to us and let us know what you think of all the craziness that we have seen over the last couple of days. On Facebook and Twitter at 12pointsUSA, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We'd love to have you. We'd love to know your opinions. Let us know what you think. So since we last recorded, people have been going through their second sets of rehearsals. It's generally a 20-minute time slot as opposed to the half hour that they normally get for their first run-throughs. But it's an opportunity for acts to kind of tighten things up, to make some minor changes, sometimes costuming, sometimes camera angles, things like that. So where do we want to start? Some acts, there weren't major changes, but others, there were definitely a lot.
I'd say just in general, everyone at this point, you're starting to see a lot more tightening up of things. They're sounding a little bit better. The camera work is looking a little bit better. Got a little bit more pyro in some of these. I think they're willing to splash on the second run through rather than the first one, just because not as much pressure that time.
I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize that you have to pay for the pyros whenever you shoot them off. So, like, you can't just have 85,000 sparklers at every single run through. That's going to cost you a pretty penny.
Just charge it to the EBU.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
put it on our tab.
The whole budgeting behind staging is rather fascinating when you really dig into it, and what different countries will pay for, which we'll talk about. I'd say the biggest glow up for me personally was just seeing Malta really come together. I think that one, it's looking a lot better. First time through, just felt really dry and very simple, and they were just kind of figuring it out. And now that they have it, it's starting to look brighter and a little bit more energetic. They got the fire curtain out, which is good. I think it's restored a lot of confidence from the fans that this has a real shot at winning. Whether or not it does, I don't know, but it's leaps and bounds better than it was.
Right. A lot of the naysayers with Malta, at least the first time around, I think were throwing a lot of shade, and maybe too much shade, as you know, as you're talking about an 18-year-old girl here, on Destiny's outfit, which was sort of the pink fringy number. In the second run through, she opted for a silver number. So people were a little bit more positively responsive to that. But at the end of the day, the song is all about own yourself and do what makes you feel happy and comfortable. Hopefully Destiny is doing the switch for her own reasons and not necessarily just because of anonymous haters online.
Yeah, I will say, I think the costume change made was a good one. I don't know that I was as upset about the original choice as some people seem to be. But yeah, everything just seemed to gel a lot better for them this time. And in a lot of ways, it wasn't that different. But I don't know, it just worked a lot better. It just, you know, the second time up, you're a little more confident. You're just kind of ready to go a bit more. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was some hesitance that was hard to pick up in the first one. And we're just not seeing it now, something like that.
You had a couple of days to kind of get your feet wet and you feel a lot more comfortable in the new setting. A lot can change in those first couple of days. And I remember, you know, through the years that I've been doing this, so many people can be so, so harsh on those first rehearsals. And then by the time they see the second rehearsals coming in, they're like, oh, what was I even worried about? And then honestly, by the time the actual show comes through, oftentimes things live up to the expectations that we had of the studio version. I think of Blanche in 2017, for example, who was lauded in the studio version of City Lights. And then when she came onto the stage, she just felt so uncomfortable and so scared, such stage fright. But by the end of it, she did an absolutely fantastic job and ended up coming in fourth in a really competitive year. So anything can happen. Rehearsals are certainly fun and interesting and really cool to watch, but a performance isn't going to be made or broken on the first or even the second run through.
And it's just important to remember that. I think the fandom, like the press fandom especially, is very reactionary. And they're looking for a definitive statement, I think. And it's real easy to kind of get caught up in that sometimes and just say, well, this didn't quite work, therefore the entire thing is a disaster.
Right, exactly.
So you got to be patient with these things.
Especially when you have a risky staging and a risky concept like what our friends over in Ireland are doing. You know, those things need practice. Those things take time to get right, especially when you're doing it for the first time in this venue.
Or the second.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of them, it's coming together, it looks like. It mm-hmm. definitely looked a heck of a lot better the second time through. Still not perfect. You know, it's just so tech heavy. There's so much stuff where the exact blocking and timing and everything is just so precise. Mm. It's going to be a tough thing to pull off, but they're getting there. It really seems like it's coming along. It is such a cool concept.
Oh, yeah.
I saw somebody suggest that because of the whole storybook feel to it, that maybe this started last year and that Story of My Life was going to be presented something like this. Maybe.
I don't know. And that would be an interesting question to ask her.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can find out.
You can get up at 4 in the morning tomorrow and ask her. I'm just kidding. I don't know what the press conference is.
Okay, who else do we want to touch? Oh, probably the biggest story from yesterday as we are recording it. We got word from the Ukrainian delegation that Katerina, the lead singer of Go A, wasn't feeling her best. They just kind of unspecified symptoms, but just not feeling golden. And so all the other members of the band were tested, sort of quick response tests, and they all came back negative. But they just wanted to be absolutely sure for Katerina, gave her a more intensive COVID test, and sent her off to sit by her lonesome for a while. Not quite the naughty step or anything like that, but more just the take care of yourself step. But in the meantime, Go A had to rehearse. So what is a Ukrainian delegation to do? They bring on the stand-ins. And this is something that we often don't get necessarily to see at the stage, because oftentimes the stand-ins are just, they're just stand-ins that are done for camera blocking before the acts actually get to the host city. We don't normally get to see clips of them, but it seems like they still had a couple of vocalists on retainer, because the Ukrainian delegation were able to call on a singer by the name of Emmy Van Stein, who was their stand-in, and had her sing Katerina's part live in the second set of rehearsals. And if I might say, I think she rocked it.
She was awesome. She was really, really great.
Yeah.
And she doesn't do the white singing, but
considering, like, she's Dutch, she's not Ukrainian. And for her mm-hmm. to go up there and blend with the vocals and do that in Ukrainian, like, yeah. Seriously, give this woman a medal, give her, like, all of the Horilka and the Pelmeni that she can handle, like, give her the keys to Kiev. Yeah. Emmy, more power to you.
Yeah. I hope the Dutch delegation was paying close attention, because that's someone that they could make part of their own Eurovision package at some point. She really was fantastic. And I cannot imagine coming into this week thought, yeah, I'm going to have to be Ukrainian for the next 20 minutes or something like that. And then just knock it out of the park. So cool. So cool. And fortunately, we did find out that Katerina is A-okay.
Yay! Go yay!
Yeah. Our friend Lisa Jane referred to the situation yesterday as go B.
Shame.
I like it. Go B did a great job.
Yeah. I also think I saw somebody refer to Emmy before we knew what her name was. People were referring to this mystery stand-in singer as Cher Noble. Or Chernobyl, I suppose. So, yeah, but she does have a name. Chernobyl.
Way to go.
Yeah. Nice. Way to go, Emmy Van Stein.
Yeah. Friend of the show, I guess. We can call her a friend of the show, right?
She's certainly a friend of the contest.
We have the power. All right. Fantastic.
All right. Any other acts that we wanted to touch on before we move on to our Big Six coverage?
Maybe worth mentioning that Sinead is really teasing out the Flo Rida appearance as much as possible.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
He really is. And San Marino's good at this, to be honest. They've teased us before with their rehearsals. couple of years ago, this would have been 2018, when they had the robots on stage, they would switch out the signs the little robots were holding, you know, justice for Valentina, you know, size doesn't matter, things like that.
Will you marry me?
Will you marry me? So, yeah, so Cindy comes on there saying, you know, these little stickers on her. What do you even call that headpiece that she has on for during that first couple of bars?
It's okay. Almost like a, like papal.
Yeah, it seems like something you'd see like in a like an Orthodox church around the Virgin Mary or something.
Yeah, it's this weird iconography. But yeah, there were stickers all over it saying, you know, Flo Rida, ? So we shall see. We shall see. Flo Rida, as we know, was not at the rehearsal today, but
Standen was there.
Standen was there.
That was Emmy as well. Just incredible.
She is versatile. She is super versatile. What can I say?
Just to be clear, that was a joke. It's not Emmy. Just in case anyone wants to run with that for some reason.
Okay. Other rehearsals. Let's see. We got a little bit more energy out of Benny Cristo, I think, this time around. I think he kind of phoned it in a little bit the first time around, but I think he was picking up a bit more. But I think he's got more to go.
Yeah, I'm still not 100% convinced by this one. It just seems a little too muted to me still, and I'm wondering, this one's going to need a lot of energy to really stand out, especially given the kind of song it is. I don't know. He seems like he's still looking for his marks and everything, too.
Mm. Yeah, and I think because of that, the vocals haven't always been quite on point either. And so, yeah, I'm a little concerned about this one as well, I think.
Hold it out, it's, Hope. Come on, yeah. Benny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it certainly has it in him and all that.
Mm. Okay. So, yeah, we will get the last section of our second semifinalist, second rehearsals tomorrow at time of recording. But definitely wanted to touch on the first rehearsals for our six automatic qualifiers. Shall we just start and go in chronological order of how they performed today?
Yeah.
So we opened the show with Italy then. And my God, did they bust it right open. Derek, I know you're not a fan of this one, Derek. I know. I understand that. I respect your opinion, as wrong as it might be. But my God, like this just felt like,
I'll say I don't like the song. To me, it's a bit too generic rock song, but they perform the hell out of it. It looks really energetic and exciting. It feels a lot like a concert performance more than a show performance. Like something you'd see on a like an award show sort of performance. I don't really get a much of a visual narrative out of it, but I see what they're doing. They're trying to be really exciting. There's a lot of lights. There's some color at the end. They throw in all the pyros.
So much pyro.
I liked that each of the artists kind of gets featured on camera. It wasn't just the lead singer for the entire 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I think if you were a fan of the song going into this, you're gonna absolutely love it. Like it's not my thing, but I can see, you know, if you're into this, it's as good as it's possibly gonna be.
Yeah, I mean, Damiano, the lead singer, is just so engaging. I get a lot of the same vibe from this as I did from their Sanremo performances. Okay, so Måneskin is a great live band. And for them to have to perform, much like they did at Sanremo, in front of a venue that's not packed to the gills and still be able to bring across that energy like they would in a live show, I think is really, really talented. And obviously it worked well for them in Sanremo. I'm not willing to raise my colors and say this is winning or this is not. This is in a group of songs that I think could potentially do it. I don't know yet. Even though we've seen everything by now, I still don't know. But my God, I love this. And this is doing exactly what I wanted it to do.
Agreed. This is spectacular. It is just pure rock and roll bliss. Like, I love the execution. I'm not really surprised by anything that they've decided to do, because like, this is what they do. You know what I mean? And yeah, I don't know how well this is going to go over with Europe at large, but my suspicion is it will do quite well. I could see it winning. It would not be in my first couple of guesses for who's going to win at this point, but it wouldn't shock me.
Okay, so we move from Italy on to, let's see, was it Germany that was performing after them?
It was indeed.
Ah, ha, 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 ha.
Oh, God.
Speaking of performances that I both completely anticipated it being like this and yet not. Yep, yeah, this is just a delegation having fun. It's high energy, it's positive. They brought the middle finger / peace sign. Very cheeky. Very, very cheeky. It's just, it's fun. It's silly fun. You could see how out of breath Yendrick is by the end of it. Like, he is giving it his absolute all. And I hope he doesn't wind himself and, like, you know, fall over himself and sprain an ankle on the night of the show. Like, cause he's all over the place.
I think that works so well for the song though. I think the energy that he and the dancers bring to it, it just enhances the experience overall.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I really like that there is a visual narrative element to this. There's sort of the black and white hateful words in different languages. And then there's the colors and they're kind of going back and forth. Like, there's this battle going on.
I love that.
Visually.
I love that.
I think that really helps, even if you're not really following what he's saying. And sometimes it's kind of hard to understand him. You can kind of look at that and be like, oh, I see what's going on. It's this, you know, positivity winning out over negativity. And it's all so cheeky and weird. And I like when the deep voice comes in, it cuts to the woman in the middle finger suit. She's mouthing the words. And it's just, she's got this look on her face and it's really funny.
It's a good use of the allowing pre-recorded vocals. Sort of situation, because I don't think they can really do it if they don't have that. I said back in February, I tweeted, well, if the middle finger is allowed on stage, then I'm on board. And dag nabbit, it's on stage. So now I guess I'm on board. I agree with what's being said here. I think it's very weird and charming and devil may care, not in the same way that like Italy is, but in its way. What really kind of made it click for me, so to speak, was I saw somebody note he has a necklace on during the performance, and the thing on the necklace is just the word annoying.
I didn't even notice that.
And so, like, he's in on it. He knows. And I thought, okay, I kind of get it a little more now with that context. I will say, after a day of really big rehearsals, this is the song that is currently stuck in my head. So, damn you, Germany.
Most exciting thing was he's got that little spoken word bit at the end.
And yes.
In the original version, it's just in German. It's like, thanks for coming to the show. Have a nice evening or something like that. But in the live performance, he's like, I can't tell you what I'm going to say on the 22nd. It's a surprise.
Yeah. So speaking of teasing things.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm very excited for that. I mean, what's he going to say? Is he going to say vote for San Marino? Is he going to say?
Is he going to pull a Dawa Bob and just say, I love you.
I love you too.
That was a good moment.
It worked so well.
All right. So we move from Germany. Let's see. What was the next? Oh, it was the Netherlands, Birth of a New Age. Yeah, this is exactly what I wanted Birth of a New Age to be. It's that uplifting, anthemic, deeply, deeply soulful, and very, very honest staging. You can tell that there's a lot of heart in this. It tells a message that is both very, very personal and yet very, very universal at the same time. And I love that about this song, and I love that about the staging. I also love the fact that he's got his brother up there with him.
Oh, that was his brother?
That's his twin brother.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That was really the only part of this that I found. And it's really not even a negative, because it's wonderful that they're both there. But before I knew it was his brother, I was really quite confused, because I thought, that guy looks exactly like Xiangu. And it's freaking me out a little bit. And then it's like, oh, he has a twin brother. And like, oh, well, then okay.
I completely forgot about that.
It's just like, it's oh, great. Wow, that's
a coincidence.
It's not that creepy. It's not like, come sing with us, Eric, forever and ever.
Kind of surprised they didn't take advantage of that and do like this weird split screen thing where it's like suddenly there's like he's wearing two different outfits.
I mean, they look, I mean, I don't know if they're
identical
twins or fraternal, or I mean, you could tell the differences between the two. They definitely look different enough. Yeah. No, I don't know, where you can't tell which one is Jed and which one's Word, but
at any given moment.
Yeah.
I think
one
thing I really liked about this, I loved at the beginning the way they used the backing singers and dancers to kind of come in and out of frame. It just made things a little bit more dynamic. I thought the staging was very simple. Like, there's not a lot of props on stage. It's just him and the backup, and then the colors and the words in the background. I mean, all told, very simple but very effective. I think the camera work and the movement is really what sells this. And I thought the dancer was really effective. I thought she was really good.
Yeah.
I love absolutely everything about this, and it bumps me out so much that I think people are still sleeping on it somehow. I could see this finishing pretty much any spot in the final.
Yeah.
Any. I mean any, including that one. It is just so, so well done. It's gorgeous. There is not a single fault in the vocals. I love the Stran and Tango on the screen in the back, and then the translation, "You won't break me." Like, that is such a powerful thing. I appreciate that on so many levels. And by the way, I really need people to stop making the broccoli joke.
Yes, thank you.
Like, okay, he says some words that sound kind of like the word broccoli. It's not even that broccoli-esque, if you ask me. But like, don't do this. Like, just please don't do this. Like, it's really insensitive to, like, a language that is clearly very cool and beautiful and important. And it's never been sung on a Eurovision stage until now. And, like, just don't do that. It's dumb. Don't do that. Anyway, this performance is fantastic. This was the one that I think, with respect to Italy that we've talked about and France who we're about to talk about, I think this is the performance that got me the most today. It's just so well done.
Mm.
My goodness.
You can tell he put a lot of thought into it, which I appreciate so much.
Yeah, definitely. So much.
Shall we move on?
We shall. So after the Netherlands came France, Barbara Pravi, the highly anticipated Voila. I got a very similar vibe to this as I did from the national final, and I was under the impression they'd be switching things up. However, they didn't need to switch things up.
No.
Like, the national final was just so perfect. And I feel like the darkness and the intimacy of the national final performance ending with the sort of frantic camera angles and the sort of the unsteady steady cam. The unsteady cam. Yeah.
The handheld camera.
Yeah.
I legitimately, my chest was starting to tighten up near the end of that. I was like starting to feel the anxiety and I had to like catch my breath when she stopped. I was like, oh man, what just happened? It works. There's so much writing because the staging is so bare. It's just her and some lights, white lights, and that's it.
Mm.
And a bunch of purple and pink and blue for some reason. Anyway, no. But I think it's very close and tight focus, and there's so much on her for her, not just her voice, but her physicality, like her movements, her facial expressions. There's like when she smiles, it's this like forced, tragic smile to hide like frustration and anger. And you see those layers.
Mm.
And it's there in her movement, and she gets a bit more frantic as it goes along as well, and she's kind of shaking, and it's just incredible to see it.
And that my French is not that great, and I've said this before, but it just transcends language. Like when she says "ne partez pas," you know, don't leave, you could feel the desperation, you can feel that heartache and that need for acceptance and for, I don't want to say need for attention, because that sounds, you know, that it's like, pay attention. You know, it's more just like, I'm here, please.
It's human contact.
Love me. And yeah. Which is such a relatable feeling after the year that we've had. It was just evocative. I keep coming back to that, just evocative.
So I dug into her past a little bit. I was kind of surprised. She comes from like a family of artists.
Mm.
And she's done some acting as well. And you can kind of see that coming through in her performance. So yeah, it's interesting. Like, she knows the art world and the struggles, I think, pretty intimately, I imagine.
Yeah.
And she knows how to use her physicality as like a weapon in a way. So
yeah. What do you think, Eric?
I mean, it's gorgeous. It's everything the national final performance was, basically. If you've seen that, you've kind of seen this. It's the same sort of a thing. I'm still not sure how the public are going to take to it. You know, it's a lot. I think there's a pretty good chance it wins the jury, but hard to say how it'll do elsewhere. It's brilliant. You both nailed it. It's very impactful and intense. I think a lot of it may come down to where this is in the show.
Mm.
What's right before it? Does this come on right after Blind Channel?
Oh, or God.
Wouldn't do that, would they?
Not maybe. if they put a commercial break in between them, maybe.
Yeah, or Loco Loco, or Pants Dance, or just want one of these things. Pants Dance is Grease, by the way. We're calling it Pants Dance now. If you haven't, if you don't know why, look it up. You'll figure it out. Anyway, Pants Dance. If this gets a good spot in the running order, we could be looking at huge, huge, huge numbers.
Yeah.
If it gets buried between a couple other big contenders, that's another story.
Yeah, if it's placed too close to, say, Growing Up Is Getting Old or to L'Univers, then you're just going to have this period of sort of depressing, emotional songs,
right.
And you need to break those up. So I'm not looking forward to the challenge that the running order specialists at the producers of the show will have to take for this, like once they have the full roster. Like,
I feel like they put the favorites in a good spot typically.
But there are so many favorites this year.
I know there's so many favorites. But there's three pretty clear favorites right now, mm-hmm. and maybe three more. But they're not going to like stick Malta in second position,
right?
I would hope.
No. But I mean, suppose Voila comes right after Malta, something like that. Like if people are on a high after a song like that, and then they get to this, are they going to think, "Oh wow, this is also really good," or are they going to think, "Well, now I'm depressed. Let me hear Malta again." Like, you know what I mean? Mm.
I think that the biggest thing working in favor of France right now, though, is the fact that we have another song that's entirely in French that's also kind of sad and introspective. That is one of my favorites, but admittedly, I don't think the staging is quite working for it. And people will be able to look at that and say, well, this is the better French song, if they're making comparisons.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
I have no idea who's taking this, guys. No idea.
That's so much fun, isn't it?
I know. It's horrifying and I love it.
It's not 2019 again.
No. Yeah,
no. Or 2018. Or 2017. Although,
well,
I guess...
Well, no, 2017 turned a completely different direction than what people were expecting. Everybody thought it was going to be Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, moving on. Next, we have
moving on. Yeah.
James
Newman. I saw somebody note, this is either going to open or close the show.
That seems like a good choice for either one of those.
Yeah. Again, you want that big... positive, bouncy opening number like we have for the semifinals, which we have with Lithuania and San Marino. I think this is sort of, especially for a lot of people who don't necessarily watch the semifinals or just tuning in on the Saturday night, this is a perfect, welcoming, affable, positive number. I think this is a great spot for it. I don't know. I don't think that necessarily bodes well for its chances on the win.
Yeah, it does. It really does not.
But
number one nowadays is where you put something really fun that won't win.
But number one's have done, I guess, is what this well. Is. What was it? What's the Pressure came in 10th, which is pretty good for an opening slot.
Yeah.
That song was great.
A bop.
And I think this would be a great opener. It's a little dark right now, which is kind of surprising, but they're using a lot of that red blue mood lighting. He's got two giant trumpets on either side of him.
Yep.
Which is just like, it took me a minute to figure out what was going on because I thought that was part of the background at first. And then
it's the horniest
around.
Performance yet.
Take that, Maruv.
Take that, Croatia.
Now, somebody had said, so, like, after the show is done, like, what do you do with these two giant trumpets? And I'm like, put massive subwoofers in there and crank up Siren Song and just, like, twerk to your heart's content. Like, farty trumpets ahoy. Like, bring it.
Is it like when you were working at Blockbuster and they were like, who wants to take these movie posters home? Is there like a tech guy who's like, I'll take one of them. You want both? No, that's just too much.
Yeah.
If I'm James Newman, I'm building a gate to my house.
Oh, there you
with
go.
A trumpet on either side.
Ooh, that's swanky.
Yeah. I was just curious. I couldn't remember what all of the openers were the last few years. And so I pulled out the Statmotron. Hey. Statmotron. We had Chameleon. Mm-hmm. Good. Under the Ladder. Great opener.
Mm.
We had I Feel Alive from Israel in 2017.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That song gets a bad rap, I think. I like that one.
That's a great one.
Then What's the Pressure? 2015 was Here For You from Slovenia.
Yeah.
That one's...
Yeah.
I
like that.
That's a good song.
TikTok from Ukraine in 2014. L'Enfer et Moi from France in 2013.
Not cool, man.
And then for some reason in 2012, do you remember, Sam?
That was Love Will Set You Free. That was the Engelbert Humperdinck himself, wasn't it?
That's right.
That was when it was still randomly drawn.
That makes a lot more sense. Because that is certainly a choice if it was a choice. But it wasn't.
There's a running joke that whoever closes the second semifinal is fated to open up the final, which would be Denmark.
Oh no. I mean, that's not gonna qualify.
Assuming they qualify, of course. But like honestly, like I could kind of see Denmark opening too.
I can see
honestly, just get one of those big old pink and purple 80s songs out of the way in the beginning to make room for the 7 or 8 more that will be popping up later on in the final.
I'm not going to lie. I'm so sick of pink and purple at this point.
It's pretty egregious.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
As a quick aside, speaking of Slovenia, have you heard about this free ESE that's being put together?
I have a little bit, yeah.
I don't think that it's meant to be like a competition or anything. It's just an additional thing that some German broadcaster is putting together. They're calling it a European song contest, so they can still say ESC. And Conchita Wurst is hosting, which adds a little bit of legitimacy there. Mm-hmm. Not that they aren't running Eurovision again 2019. right up against it. But the reason I mentioned Slovenia, you know who's representing Slovenia at this thing?
It's totally Ben Dolich, isn't it?
It's Ben Dolich.
No. Hey! I knew he had a new single coming out soon.
Yeah, yeah. It's coming out tomorrow as of recording. This is super random and has nothing to do with anything, but in case anyone was wondering what Ben Dolich is up to, he's doing this other contest.
Traitor.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the our automatic qualifiers. We go from France. We go from the United Kingdom to Spain, closing out our show. Les Canto with Voy a Quedarme. I think out of our automatic qualifiers, I think we could say this is probably the one coming into it as the weakest. Can we all basically agree on that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't know about that. No, just kidding. Yeah.
In terms of the momentum behind it.
Behind it.
Yeah. But I thought that he did a good job with the song that he has. It's an impactful staging with this giant moon looming overhead. And I like the fact that he opens the song a cappella, that it really kind of touches on the isolation and the loneliness and the heartbreak that the song really kind of represents. It's, you know, the death of his grandmother, as we know. It's still not, I think, in contention for the win or even the top 10, but I think that he could feel proud of what he's been putting out there.
This one grew a lot on me. I was shocked when it started because I'm like, where's the music? Is it just not working? I'm like, oh no, this is a deliberate choice. And visually it's very dark and very solemn. And then that moon shows up and it's massive. And it's just such a striking image. I thought emotionally he was emoting very well.
Like, yeah.
His vocal work was really good. I was genuinely impressed with that. I don't think it's due huge numbers, but I don't think we can joke around and say this is last place anymore.
Right. And I think that if we have a song sneaking in like Austria, Amen, which we've been giving a lot more attention to after we've seen the semifinals rehearse, I think that if Austria is in the final, it will go head to head against Spain. And I'm not sure which of those two would come out on top.
I mean, between the two, I would say I think Spain edges out at this moment. I just visually, I think it's a lot more interesting. And I don't know. I think he sold it. I think he really, Blas really nailed it. I think this is as good as it's going to get, which is kind of surprising because it, like we said, it had no momentum coming into this.
Mm. Eric, what do you think?
I was surprised. I mean, I for better or worse, I'd written this off. And I still think it's not in that top crop. Certainly the song still isn't spectacular, but it got my attention a lot more than I ever would have thought. It's really nice. It's just really nice. And yeah, Vincent Bueno from Austria is a good comparison, I think. But the other thing I keep thinking is I feel like somewhere else in Rotterdam, Samantha Tina saw that giant moon and fired her publicist.
Somebody had a high heel shoe thrown at them.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. I know we're kind of ending this on a bit of a downbeat kind of moment, but...
Any predictions? We've seen everything now.
Oh my God. I still have no idea. Yeah. Like, I am no clearer after having seen everything was coming into it.
Yeah. I will note three different songs have been number one in the betting odds just today.
Yep.
Yep.
Malta, France, Italy. Italy was fairly brief. It basically, from their performance to France's performance, and then Malta had taken over from France when she performed. So maybe it's whoever goes the last of the three of them on the day is who's going to win somehow. Like, I don't know. I think all three of those have a very good case. I think that it's also very likely that somebody like Iceland, which is just going to do well with both votes, it could do like Jamala did and just have the highest between everything. Like if Italy does great in the televote, maybe not so great from the jury, France, the exact opposite, then it's wide open. Then Iceland could just do well enough to get there. I think Bulgaria could do that. I think Switzerland could do that. I think Ukraine could do that.
Yeah, they've gotten a lot of momentum over the last week.
Yeah.
Ukraine is kind of a country that everyone seems to enjoy. I feel like everyone can get behind that. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Do. Yeah. So. It could just be, this was such a strong year and no one could quite agree on everything, but we all liked Ukraine.
Yeah.
And so then Ukraine just wins. And
fine by me.
Yeah. I mean, those seven countries are all in the top eight in the betting odds, I could see all of them winning. The only one in the top eight that I just don't see actually getting there is Cyprus.
It seems to be doing well despite itself.
Yeah.
I think if I were to wager, I think people are just having echoes of Fuego.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's like a FOMO almost, like Fuego almost won. This is a lot like Fuego. Therefore, this will also almost win, but I don't think it's that good. That Fuego was lightning in a bottle, and this is not. It's super fun.
It's head and shoulders in a bottle, really.
Yeah. Rock and oil. Anyway, let's see. Just looking down. Yeah, I definitely see seven potential winners here, and...
I don't know what's going to happen.
This is my favorite part of Eurovision. We've seen everything. We haven't seen it all together. We haven't seen like a run through, but it's just kind of this up in the air moment where it's like, well, maybe. And, you know, this is like when you really can speculate and kind of weigh things out and start to guess at what's going to happen. And I mean, you have enough information. I think the only country we haven't seen in its entirety is Australia, who has released a small clip of the actual performance.
And it looks pretty good, too.
And she sounds great.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with that. I mean, she has to be, so.
Yeah. No, I was very intrigued by that one as well. So, yeah, we've got... Well, we're just going to have about a 36-way tie for first. That's right, 36. It's going to be so close that they're just going to let everything in the final except Slovenia and a couple others. Or something.
You know who you are. And...
Georgia. You know what you've done.
So just think, though, a week from now, as of this recording, we will know not only who's in the final, but we'll know the running order as well.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow.
It's finally here.
That's always one of my favorite moments in the press center, actually. Like, late night on the Thursday, most people have already gone home or they're at the Euro Club getting trashed. And, like, I'm normally with the ESC Insight crew. We're putting the final touches on a podcast, you know, sort of a post-mortem of the semifinal. And suddenly, bit by bit, everybody around the table gets the alert, and we're just glued to our screens.
And just making predictions.
How could that be the best. It's like, ooh, man, they got it in for them.
Closing the show.
It's like, oh, we're off to blank, blank, blank city. And then the mad dash.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah. And then the mad dash to hotels.com or booking.com or your purveyor of choice to find cancelable hotels in the cities of your fancy.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It's great.
I'm so excited.
Well, hopefully you folks at home are just as excited as we are. If you are, let us know what you think. Again, find us on Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Like, subscribe, give us stars, give us reviews, give us all the attention that we're craving because it's so lonely over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess we'll reconvene in a couple of days. Maybe we'll be able to drag Danny along as well.
I'll try to get him on one of these.
Yeah, seriously. But until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
And I've been Eric.
And America.
Stop rehearsing now.
Love us more right now.
Dance.
Are you?
Pants dance.
Pants dance.